the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey guys, happy
Hello.
Friday.
Good morning.
Go Tigers.
Hey. Oh, how about
yes.
that?
Hey, we have a Catholic Community Radio family member up there watching the games.
Yes,
oh, I'm sure
we've
got more than one.
Beverly Shaw's got to be having a blast. Beverly, if you're listening, go Tigers. We're happy for you. You got to be having fun. Oh, one
Made
more thing.
Made it to the finals.
One more thing. I want to wish my grandson, Joseph, a happy birthday. It's his first birthday today.
Yeah.
So. Oh, happy birthday. The first one's always the best.
Yeah. Is he walking yet?
Have fun.
No.
Okay.
No.
He will be.
He will be very soon. Yes. He's got a lot of encouragement. So, yep. Happy birthday.
Happy
Joseph.
Birthday. Yeah. I hope he has a great day today.
He will. He always does. He's one. Coming. Come on.
Well, very good.
I
well,
know.
Today he was born on St. John Fisher's feast day.
Mm-hmm.
So, what a great day. And we'll open with a prayer. Help me, most loving Father, help me with thy mighty grace. Bless me with thy most gracious favor. Rescue me from these manifold perils that I am in, for unless you will of your infinite goodness relieve me, I am but a lost creature. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hmm.
John Fisher must have been in a bad spot at that time.
Was that his quote there?
Because that's his prayer.
That's a
prayer for people who are struggling.
Somebody might really need to hear that today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's why I usually try to find prayers of the saints themselves.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that, Damian. Yeah. Thank you for that. And we'll learn more about St. John Fisher later on in today's show. But we're starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about that is coming up in 7 minutes. In 18 minutes, we have Deacon Richard Eason join us from St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie, a wonderful supporter of Catholic Community Media. And today he's going to be talking about the Ashley Code Cause for Canonization process. This is quite interesting I saw this on Facebook. So they had an information session yesterday.
Okay.
So we're going to get an update, get to know who Ashley Code was, and moving forward with her cause for canonization. That would be so cool.
I don't know
looking forward
Ashley
to talking to
Code.
Richard.
Never heard of her.
I'm anxious to hear about her.
So she...
It is
she,
a her,
She died a few years ago from cancer and was a parishioner over at St. Anne Church and Shrine. She was very young.
Okay.
So, very interested to learn more.
Okay.
And in 35 minutes, Jeff Young, a Catholic foodie, joins us to talk about cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we get ready for the finals and a great weekend, we're looking forward to some cocktails with Jeff Young. And Terry Dixon joins us in 48 minutes. He's the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi and the editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. He's going to be updating us on what you're going to be finding in this week's issue of the Gulf Pine Catholic. So looking forward to some wonderful guests today and great conversations. And Damian, looking forward to a wonderful weekend. What do you have for us?
Well, I've got a mixed bag for you. Right now, though, what you can expect is a 20% chance of rain in today's forecast. But don't let that stop you from doing anything. We will have plenty of sunshine to go along with that so-called 20% chance of rain. High is going to be 93, low 74 tomorrow. A different story, 60% chance of rain. Could see thunderstorms early in the day and then scattered throughout the afternoon. High should be in the mid-90s. Sunday, well, it's going to be super sunny. Winds out of the southwest at about 10 to 15. High is going to be 97, and the same holds true for Monday. In the meantime, temperatures 81 is the hot spot in New Orleans, 77 in Houma, Thibodaux, and Baton Rouge. You're listening to Wake Up.
Thank you. good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be?" We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's reading, Jesus continues to form us in a spiritual vision according to the mind of the Father. And therefore, Jesus commands us to store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. In describing the destructive action of moth and rust, Jesus used a Greek verb that literally means to disfigure or to render unrecognizable. In the impregnable bastion of heaven, where is the heart of the Father? There no one can break in and steal our treasure. Jesus urges us to use meticulous care in acquiring a lasting treasure, which is a life of love united with God. It is only love that lifts up the world and transforms it into this interior storeroom, which is the heart of God. And therefore, Jesus reminds us, where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. The names of these precious treasures are forgiveness, love, kindness, patience, adoration, and praise. The heart is the organ of loving, not the organ of feeling. The important lesson is this: the heart that moves among the worms must in the end be devoured by the worms. Woe. So who we love and how we love matters. Jesus continues his instruction by taking us from the heart to the eye. The whole axis around which our world revolves is the heart, which is the seat of human intentions and desires and actions. The eye is the lamp of the body because it directs the heart to either a goal on earth or one in heaven. So the heart is like an arrow that is powerful and effective, but at the same time, it is blind, for it only goes in the direction where it is aimed. And so it is our understanding and reason that directs the heart correctly, if it is illuminated by God. Love is important, but of itself, love is not enough. We must love in truth. Jesus brings us the truth in word and example, for he is the incarnate light. And therefore, we must pray, "Lord, teach me to open my eyes to your light, and heal my eyes of the innumerable diseases that affect them, so that I can see you clearly." Without God's grace, we remain in darkness, and therefore we pray that he will give us Jesus' heart and his light. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
It's 11 after the hour on this Friday morning. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Father Chris. And right now, some events we want to share with you. The Next Tech TEC, which stands for Teens Encounter Christ, they are having a retreat sponsored by the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and it will take place July 1st through the 3rd at the Carmelite Spirituality Center in Lacombe. Tech is a national Catholic retreat program for older adolescents and young adults that centers on developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through an experience of church community, prayer, and sacraments. You'll meet new people, you're going to grow in your faith, and at the same time, you're going to come back a better person, hopefully. The minimum age is you must have completed your sophomore year in high school. So if you want more information, just go to ccmedia.live. You'll get all the details there.
Mm-hmm. And my events for slightly older. Thirsty for the Truth Summer Series gets underway next Wednesday, June 28th at Abita Brewery, and that's from 6:30 to 8:30, and the cost is only $5. You must be 18 and older to attend. And the first Thirsty for the Truth talk will be by Father Chris Decker. We know that guy.
Ooh.
And his topic is Ask Me Anything. So that's a pretty broad brushstroke there. So, nah. But I tell you what, he can answer those questions. He's very good.
Yes.
So for more details, go to ccmedia.live. Now, future speakers are Father Josh Rodrigue, Discernment of Spirits, that's on July the 12th.
Nice.
And then Father Jeffrey Muntz on the occult, that's July 26th. So good stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds
like a
great
good series.
Topics.
It does. It does. Ask me anything. We'll make it good.
Matt.
Yeah.
And he'll provide some good answers, too.
He
I can
will.
Almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And for $5, that's a good deal.
It is.
Well, you can follow us on social media. We have some pretty cool stuff on our Facebook and Instagram. You can follow us at Catholic Community Media. And if you're ever so brave, on Twitter at LA Catholic Media. I say that because Twitter is a harsh world, you guys.
Yes,
I really
indeed.
Try to limit my time on Twitter.
Yeah.
But if you follow the right people, then you can have your feed looking really spiritual. But every now and then something mean pops up, you know, like that person that's trending or that event.
Mm-hmm.
But follow us on social media because we post saint facts, updates on our radio station, Vatican news, updates on our local dioceses. And we want to keep you up to date with that. And you can also watch us on Wake Up on our social media as well from 7 to 8 on Facebook. You can also follow us on YouTube at Catholic Community Media. So fun stuff.
Yeah.
Also, our coffee club, you guys, one of my favorite things to be a part of at Catholic Community Media. It's a recurring $30 a month donation. And when you join the coffee club, you will receive a travel tumbler, which is super fun. And I love mine. So you can get yours today. And David Dawson is holding his right there.
There it
if you're watching us, it's a beautiful stainless steel travel tumbler with our logo on it.
Holds a lot of coffee.
So join the coffee club today.
And keeps it hot.
Yes.
And cold, whatever
yes,
you want to do.
ccmedia.live is where you can go.
All right. You know, the men of St. Joseph, they've been meeting for over 14 and a half years every Tuesday morning at 6:30 on the North Shore in the Ministry Center. And attendance is open to all men of the St. Tammany Deanery. If you want more details, all you have to do is go to ccmedia.live. You'll get a phone number, how to get in touch with them, and attend the next meeting, which will be on Tuesday.
I've been
guarantee.
To one. They're nice. I've been to one.
Nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
very good meetings. 15 after the hour, folks. Wake Up's just getting started. Don't go too far. We've got more coming your way on this Friday morning.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 23rd. Today we celebrate St. John Fisher. John Fisher was a man of learning and influence who spent much of his life surrounded by the powerful people of his day. He served his church as a priest, bishop, and cardinal. He took special interest in raising the standard of preaching in England and was an accomplished preacher and writer himself. His 8 books against heresy gave him a leading position among European theologians. In 1527, he was asked to study the issues surrounding Henry VIII's marriage to Catherine of Aragon and the king's desire to divorce her and marry Anne Boleyn. Fisher defended the validity of the king's first marriage and rejected Henry's claim to be the supreme head of the Church of England. Enraged, the king summoned him to take the oath of allegiance to the new Act of Succession. The cardinal refused on the grounds that the act presumed Henry's divorce was legal and that his claim to be head of the English church was valid. Charged with high treason and condemned to death, John Fisher was executed in 1535. His body was left to lie all day on the scaffold, and his head hung on London Bridge. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You guys, these saints, these last couple of days have really had some issues with King Henry VIII.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
He was a mess.
Well, we know that, but I didn't know it was back-to-back saints that really had some problems, or he had problems with them.
He had problems with them.
They were just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, they were fine. Absolutely.
Ooh. but your head hanging on London Bridge. Wow. I didn't know that. So
I'm sure they were not saying long live the king.
No, they were not. So St. John Fisher, pray for us. That's for sure. I love learning about our saints of the day because I always learn some new facts. And that was quite a story. So Deacon Richard Eason joins us. He is a deacon over at St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie. Good morning, Deacon Richard. Thank you so much for joining us on Wake Up.
Thank you very much for having me this morning. Actually, I'm a deacon with Monsignor Nolte at Good Shepherd Parish.
But I started out
at St. Anne Parish doing my formation time, and I got assigned by the Archbishop to Good Shepherd Parish with Monsignor.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't want to
thank you so much.
That long going in. So.
Yeah, but...
No, thank you so much for clarifying and such
and
a beautiful parish that you're a part of.
Yeah, I've been there 10 years under his tutelage, so I get that. So.
No, I love him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is quite interesting, Deacon Richard. The first time I heard about Ashley Code was when I moved to New Orleans in 2016, and I had no idea who she was. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this wonderful woman who has made impact to so many people?
Sure. Ashley was had a tremendous relationship with Jesus at a very young age, and everyone knew it when she was in grammar school at St. Anne. Her favorite activity was to be an altar server, and she was like a mother to all the little students there, even though she was only 10, 11, 12 years old during her time there. And her favorite joy was carrying the cross up the center aisle during the procession, lifting the cross of Jesus up high for everyone to see. Mm. And then when she went on to Mount Carmel Academy, she demonstrated the same type of relationship with Jesus. And to give you an idea, she wrote a little letter to herself during her time there, and this is what she wrote. And this is age 15. So for all of our listeners today, think about where you were at age 15, and this is what she wrote. She said, "I hope you grew in your faith and can see the face of God everywhere in your life. Be the face of Jesus everyone wants to be around. Know that you are loved by many and want to make a huge difference at Mount Carmel and in the world as a whole. Be the sunshine of people's days. You never know what someone may be going through. Treat them all with great kindness." Mm-hmm. And then at age 16, she got the opportunity to drive a car for the first time by herself. And instead of going to the movies or with some friends or going out to get something to eat, she went to the Adoration Chapel at St. Dominic's on Harrison Avenue.
Wow.
Think about the time you got to drive your car for the first time.
I didn't go to Adoration.
To the Adoration Chapel.
No.
Spend time with Jesus. And it's just unbelievable. And then just a couple of other stories that let your listeners know about how spiritual this, this young woman was. In the beginning of her junior year, she came down with an inoperable brain tumor. And those in the Mount Carmel community know about Ashley. And Sister Camille Ann's a principal there. And she came up to Ashley and she said, "I'm so sorry this is happening to you, Ashley." And Ashley's response was very simple. "It's okay, sister. Jesus suffered too."
Wow.
So she spent a year suffering from this brain tumor, went through surgeries and all kinds of chemotherapy treatment. And I want to pass along to you a couple of comments from her neurologist, Dr. Michael Puente, and this is what he said about her. He said, "Ashley demonstrated the great virtue of fortitude all during this year of suffering. She was never fearful about her diagnosis nor her treatment nor anything she went through. She handled bad news without any kind of fear, and he described this as inhuman. She was offered anti-anxiety medications, and she declined." And she said to Dr. Puente, she said, "Jesus is my peace." Ashley touched the hearts of all of those who treated her during this time, and there were many nurses and physicians and caretakers for her. And Dr. Puente has been practicing medicine for 40 years as a neurologist, and he said she was unlike any patient he's ever treated, and she was only 16 years old during that time.
Gracious.
And if I could share one other story with you that's very profound.
Yes.
She suffered for a year before she passed away. And one night she was laying in bed with her mom, Cassie. And there was only a candlelight in the room. And she said, "Mom, Jesus and my guardian angel are in the room with us tonight. And Jesus has a message for me to pass along to you. And it's this, Mom. Don't be scared, Mommy. I'm going to be okay."
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's just, and there's story after story after story about Ashley all during this time. And but really tells the story great about what a wonderful soul she was. After she passed at the beginning of her senior year at the age of 17, her senior year at Mount Carmel, over 180 testimonials have been written about her, from the Archbishop Amen to Father Billy O'Riordan, who was the pastor in her parish, to teachers and coaches and family members and friends and people who knew her. She was just that type of person that she truly radiated tremendous relationships with others and reflected Jesus and his values in all that she did. So a truly powerful young soul who made a phenomenal difference in her short life in this earth. And now so many people have wanted to continue her memory for what she did for in her short lifetime, but also how she continues to do wonderful things from heaven.
There it's amazing.
Also and go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, whenever I saw this... And I want you to as well, because whenever I saw this announcement, I saw people's testimonies on there that I actually know talk about how they coached her in soccer and she made a profound impact on their life as a coach. I mean, just absolutely incredible what this young woman has done for so many people, especially in the New Orleans area, to have someone so close to home, you know, to have that mindset when you're going through something so tragic and obviously life-changing, you know what's coming.
Yeah.
And to have that perspective is truly remarkable to me.
Yeah, it is amazing when you think about how she touched the lives of everyone. And her whole focus was, when she was diagnosed with this inoperable brain tumor, was to think about everybody else but herself. And that's what she did. Mm-hmm. Uniformly, from everyone you speak to, the testimonials are extraordinary. And if I could read a little bit from Archbishop Amen, what he wrote about her, this is what he said, if that's okay, Gabby.
Yeah, sure. And then I would also like to talk about the process of canonization as well, and moving forward.
Sure. This is what the Archbishop wrote, and we all have tremendous love and respect for him in our community. He said, I had great admiration for Ashley and feel a spiritual bond with her. She bore the cross of illness with strong faith and dependence on God's will. For a young woman, she had mature faith and spiritual wisdom. She was a light to many people her age. Ashley touched the hearts of many people of all ages by being an example of a young, faith-filled woman. She taught us how to live and how to die. Thank you, Ashley. I will always remember her and long to see her again in the Father's kingdom. Wow. God's peace to her family and friends.
That's
so I was just looking at all of this stuff. It's phenomenal, and I was blessed to be involved in putting all this information together and to be able to spend time talking about it. In fact, last night, Gabby, we had a little presentation on all of this at St. Anne. We had several hundred people came out opposite the LSU baseball game. So it was a great turnout.
That says a lot, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it really does. They chose their faith over LSU baseball, so right. It was a good night.
Well, Deacon Richard, what's next? The cause of canonization moving forward. We have about a minute and a half left.
Sure, and I'm sorry to take up so much time, but I just wanted your all listeners to hear about her.
Sure.
But it's really all about just keeping her memory alive, and there are several activities that are ongoing that are for that purpose. There's a Mass of Remembrance every year in November with the St. Anne students. There's a parish ministry called Be the Face of Jesus. A scholarship's been started at Mount Carmel in her name. There's a May crowning every year at St. Anne with seventh graders where they talk about Ashley and what she was like as a student. It's an annual golf tournament that's this year on September 15th out at City Park. And as a fundraisers have been scheduled throughout the years to start a pediatric chair of oncology at Children's Hospital in Ashley's memory. So these are things that are ongoing to just keep her memory alive. And as many of you know, it takes sometimes hundreds of years for individuals to become saints. It's a long process.
Yeah.
And the whole focus now is just really keeping her memory alive. It's really a wonderful holy soul that all of us can wrap our arms around and kind of follow and remember for what she's done in her lifetime. And we follow the same, because all of us have the opportunity to live a saintly life every day. And Ashley was one tremendous role model for all of us.
Deacon Richard, real quick, this is Damien. Where is she buried in New Orleans?
She's out on Airline Highway. I forget the name of the cemetery there, but it's by Clearview Parkway on Airline Highway. Mm-hmm. I forget the name right there. Many people visit her grave there. And
that's what I'm thinking.
Ashley's one favorite expression was this: to be the face of Jesus for all around her. She said, a smile can make all the difference in the world. Be the sunshine of people's days. You never know what someone else may be going through, so treat everyone with great kindness.
That is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To be the face
Deacon
of
Richard, we are.
We all need to.
Indeed.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Thank yes. You. We are out of time. I wish we could have more time. Deacon Richard Eason, Deacon at Good Shepherd Parish in New Orleans. Please keep us up to date with all of this information on Ashley Coe. We will be praying for her. I hope she prays for us. It's 6:30 on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. It is Friday. It is the weekend. And so we're thinking about all the things that we can do for the weekend. And it's hot outside, so let's have something nice and chilly and cold. And Jeff Young is here to help us out with that. The Catholic Foodie. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm hot. I'm thirsty. What you got?
Well, there's nothing like a ice cold glass of water.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Jeff. It was great. I have that recipe already.
It's easy to make.
Filtered or unfiltered?
Oh, there you go.
Well, I guess it depends on where you live and your source of water. I don't know.
Right, right. Yeah.
But now I was thinking, you know, we talk about cooking all the time, but one thing we haven't really talked about in a while is cocktails.
Right.
And there's something that you could make that's just, or some things, you know, different cocktails you can make that are just very refreshing, especially on a hot Louisiana afternoon, evening, you know.
Yeah. And the first cocktail was invented in New Orleans on Royal Street. Did you know that?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Right, right. At a pharmacy.
At a pharmacy. That's now, right. That part I did not know.
Yeah. You know the name of it?
Yeah, I think it was like an old fashioned or like a Sazerac or something like that.
I would have guessed Sazerac.
Yeah. I don't know if they called it that, but anyway, yeah.
They called it medicine so they could charge you more.
There you go.
There you go.
Prescribe.
That's it. I was thinking something kind of light and refreshing.
Yep.
And this is one that Charles really likes. This Aperol. Have you heard of Aperol before?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. Is it like a liqueur or what is it?
Well, it's a liqueur. It's got kind of an orange flavor to it. If you look at it in a bottle, it looks like it's almost like an electric pink, but not quite pink. It's almost on the darker side, kind of leaning toward orange, but it has that kind of a pink look to it.
That sounds scary.
And it's kind of like an aperitif, right? Okay. An aperitivo, which is something that is thought, I mean, the word aperitivo itself or aperitif, it comes from the Latin word meaning to open, right?
And it's
supposed to, in essence, kind of, it's something you would have before
dinner to
spark your appetite, right? To kind of open up your appetite.
Yes.
But it makes such a refreshing drink, the Aperol Spritz. And here's what you would put in it. It's 3 ounces of Prosecco, which, again, Prosecco is going to be a dry, white, sparkling wine.
Could you use Prosecco. Champagne if you didn't have Prosecco?
You could use champagne if you want to, certainly. Right. I mean, there's no recipe police here, right, at your house.
I like Prosecco better.
Prosecco, 2 ounces of Aperol, soda water, about an ounce of soda water, and then a slice of orange for garnish. And usually you're going to serve this in like a stemmed wine glass with ice. And you add your Prosecco, then the Aperol on top of that, and then the soda water. And the soda water lasts because the sparkles, right, in the soda water kind of help to mix everything together.
Yeah.
And it is just such a refreshing cocktail.
Yeah.
And I know it's one of Char's favorites, so I want to share that one with you.
One of the most popular cocktails, and I believe its origins are New Orleans too, was the Pimp's Cup. Do you know that one?
That's right.
What goes into
that's
that?
Right. The Pimp's. Well, the Pimp's Cup, you have an ingredient that's known as Pimm's number one, right? So
right.
It's kind of in the bottle. You're going to buy a bottle of Pimm's, but it could be, and there's variations on all of this, but you'd have Pimm's, you could have like a soda. Sometimes you may even find them using like a different flavored soda, like maybe a lemon.
Okay.
Soda. You can have orange in there. You can have lemon, mint, a lot of times fresh mint leaves, cucumber.
Right.
Ice. And I mean, you can have different things in there too. Sometimes people put apple in it, or you know, different veggies or fruits are good things to eat. You know?
Yeah,
that could be very refreshing too.
Yeah, I've tasted it. It's a good summertime drink. You know,
it is. And I was thinking about when it comes to cocktails, and I think this is one of those things where. We've seen a resurgence over the last, I don't know, decade maybe, of cocktail making if you go out to a restaurant or to a bar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because used to be, for the longest time, it was always mixers, right? So you go and you get a mixer of Bloody Mary mix out of a bottle.
Right.
You know, margarita mix out of a bottle, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now you go out and they're making it with fresh lime juice, right?
Yeah.
They're making it with, you know, tomato juice and making it by hand. And there's something, I wanted to bring that point up simply for this reason. You know, when I talk about cooking,
mm-hmm.
I say over and over and over again, it's like the rest of the ingredients make it or break it.
Right.
Right. I mean, you can, right. I've had so many average hamburgers, right? I've had so many average Bloody Marys or whatever. But the things that stand out are the ones where the ingredients are fresh, where there's time and thoughtfulness that are put into it, how it's made, how it's served, those kind of things. And so it's like to have that approach at your house, whether it's just you and your spouse, or you have friends over, or whatever it may be, it's that little extra touch, I think, that can really make it memorable, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like I like making margaritas from scratch. You know what's going in it. Sometimes you don't know what's in that mix. You know, it may have some sort of weird chemical or something, but excuse me. but margaritas from scratch, that's just lime, Cointreau, and tequila. And, of course, a lot of ice and a little, you know, extra water or something to buffer it down. But still, you know what's in it, and it is really tasty. It's good.
And you can do, there's so many things you could do, like even something so simple as like rum and pineapple. You know, instead of making like a pina colada, which could be kind of an ordeal.
Yeah, it can.
You know, you can, and messy.
Yeah,
right. You can just take crushed ice with dark rum and pineapple juice and do a little soda water on top, which is like a little spritzer, right?
Yeah.
But it also helps, it gives it a little flavor. It kind of, makes that the sparkles kind of make everything meld together and serve it. There's pineapples are plentiful. You know, you stick that thing in the fridge, let it get cold. You cut that up. You can garnish it with fresh pineapple. It's a delicious thing. It's simple to make. It's quick and it'll help you cool down.
I like the club soda part of it because it's already it's already sweet enough. That's a real sweet drink, but hitting it with some club soda makes it a little more refreshing. So that's real good. Do you have any non-alcoholic mocktails? You got any recipes?
Well, I don't. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, not. Well, and I say that because I'm going to go back to what I said a minute ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the mocktails have made such a splash in recent years, not just because there's been no alcohol in there, but it's because we've had that resurgence where we've gone back to using really good ingredients for things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's the thing with the mocktail. I mean, there's no alcohol in there. So what are you enjoying? You're enjoying those ingredients.
Yeah.
So you could do just about anything, right? You can make you can get messy and do the pina colada if you want to.
Yeah.
You can do the, you know, some sort of a fresh fresh lime juice with mint and soda water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have those fresh mint leaves you can crush, and you're going to make a delicious little drink there. that has nothing to do with the alcohol. You want to put a little sweetener in there. You can do something like, it doesn't have to be sugar. It could be honey. It could be an agave syrup. It could be, we have this stuff that we use, and right now I'm blanking out on what it's called. Stevia, right?
Stevia,
which
yes,
is which is a leaf that's actually ground up, that's
really
natural.
Sweet.
It's not a chemical, but it's really, really sweet. And the thing I like about stevia, if I'm going to add that to a cocktail, is it's a powder, and so it dissolves very, very easily.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's not like adding sugar to a cold drink.
That's right. That's
where
right.
Where the sugar just settles to the bottom. Right?
Well, all right. You got our weekend going. The music's playing, Jeff. I got to let you go. I'm sorry about that. But
I can keep going.
I know. Me too. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeff. We appreciate it. When we come back, Damien's going to be talking Gulf Pine with Terry Dixon on Wake Up.
Happy Friday, everyone. 12 minutes before the top of the hour, Terry Dixon, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi, and he's editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. He's here with us on a monthly basis, and or at least bi-monthly, I should say, and he's here to talk about what's happening in the Biloxi Diocese in that area. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. And let's jump right into it. I see one of the key events taking place is the new wine lay ministry, the formation of the program. But there's also been a number of individuals who've become, I guess, what do you call them, ministers, huh?
You can call them ministers. They're graduates of the new wine program. It is a 3-year lay formation program that was established in 1985. It consists of 94 regular weekly sessions lasting 2 hours each. And so we had a group of people graduate on June 10th. They were recognized during a mass at the cathedral. The mass was celebrated by Bishop Kinnaman. And I have to give a shout out to our graphic designer, Shirley McCusker. She's one of the graduates. So congratulations to Shirley and congratulations to all of them. We will have a new class starting in August. And anyone who would like to learn more about that class can contact Leo Trahan, who is our director of faith formation. His phone number is 228-702-2131.
Okay. And what is the ministry all about? What is New Wine Lay Ministry?
It's for anyone who wants to establish a basic foundation in theological or pastoral skills, or who just wants to lead a particular ministry. This gives them the tools to be able to do that.
Hmm. Okay.
We have really good teachers.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, it gives you that much more knowledge to go and profess the Word of God. That's great. What about the Sacred Word, Sacred Chant program at Holy Family Parish in Pass Christian?
Ooh, that sounds good.
The Holy Family Parish is hosting Sacred Word, Sacred Chant, Deo Gloria, an evening of the Word, ancient hymns, chants, and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, on June 26th at 7 p.m. The church is located at 22342 Evangeline Road. That's right off Minge Avenue, by the way.
Okay.
And the event is free to attend. Should be a very interesting and prayerful evening.
Yeah, that's going to be Monday.
That sounds nice. Yes.
And, of course, Marriage Tune-Up Seminar is coming up at Our Lady of the Pine Parish in Bay St. Louis.
Well, that's Our Lady of the Gulf Parish, and it will be July 22nd through 23rd. It is called, that's close enough.
Yeah. Gulf Pine is on my mind.
Yes.
Gulf Pine is on your mind.
I like that. That could be a song.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no.
So July 22nd and July 23rd is called Marriage Tune-Up. It's a 2-day seminar on rekindling the joys of marriage and learning to relate to your spouse in a new way. And it will be presented by Deacon Louis Romero and his wife, Leona. and there will be meals and refreshments provided, and you can sign up for that by going to Trinity Wellness Center, Mississippi. I'm sorry, let me start that over again. TrinityWellnessCenterMS.com. That's TrinityWellnessCenterMS.com.
Hmm. Okay. And as far as workshops go, surviving divorce. Man, I hate to hear that that it has to happen, yeah. But yeah, people go through it, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. And this is going to be a good program hosted by our Catholic Charities Office. Surviving Divorce features experts like Dr. Ray Corwindy, Father Donald Calloway, wow. Father Steve Porter, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Christopher West. It is going to be on Wednesdays from July 19th through September 27th from 6 p.m. to 7:30, and that'll take place at our Catholic Charities Office on 1450 North Street, Gulfport, right next to St. James Catholic Church. You can go to CatholicCharitiesOfSouthMS.org and click on the counseling tab for more information. Or you could just call Michelle Eleuteris at 228-701-0555. And this is a program that is sponsored by AscensionPress.com.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, I would think with all those speakers.
Yeah, we know all those guys. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I always like to wrap up, if there's time, with events. Share with us a couple of key events that people need to know about that are coming up in the Biloxi Diocese.
It's a ways off, but we have a healing mass coming up next month at our Mother of Mercy Parish and Paths Christiane on Friday, July 21st at 5 p.m. And if you have children that you want to card off on somebody for a week, St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Long Beach is having
I like that.
Vacation Bible School.
Ah, okay.
And the theme is Marvelous Mystery, the Mass Comes Alive. And you can go to stthomaslb.org to learn more and to register. It says register prior to June 25th. So if you're going to do it, you need to do it in the next couple of days. Mm. And the other thing, we have a Bible study happening at Sacred Heart d'Iberville beginning Monday, August 7th, 6:30 to 8 p.m., it is a study of the Gospel of Matthew, and it is led, probably not in person, but it is led by Jeff Cavins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Probably not in person.
So, probably not, yeah.
I do want to make a note. Football is year-round in South Louisiana along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. St. Stanislaus football camp is going to begin Monday through Wednesday of next week.
Oh.
It's for boys and girls, okay. Ages 8 to 14. It's going to be from 9 to noon, and Coach Tim Lala and his staff will be conducting the camp. So I wanted to give Coach Lala a plug over there.
You should come out and go through a few drills, Damien.
There you go.
Oh, I tell you what.
Do it.
I need
to
relive memories, that's for sure. My high school days.
You need a tackling dummy.
Well, that's true. Oh, all I'd have to do is stand
I'm
there.
I'm just kidding.
All
I'm
right.
I'm just kidding. You know, I love you, Damien.
Dude, believe me, I could take a joke with the best of them because I dish them out. Right. I got to be able to take them. Where can they go to get the Gulf Pine?
www.biloxidiocese.org, but if you're in the neighborhood, stop by 1790 Popsery Road and we'll give you a copy.
Awesome. It might even nice. Terry might even autograph it for you before
oh,
you
hey.
Leave.
There you go. Ooh.
That's extra.
All right. Well, Terry Dixon, thank you for being with us as always, pal. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy some mocktails.
That's it. Some mocktails. That's right. All righty. What a week it's been. And hopefully you'll get to go out and enjoy it. Dodge the rain maybe tomorrow, but outside of that, it'll continue to be hot. And we're going to wrap up with a prayer to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession and obtain for me from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having engaged here below your heavenly power, I may offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here on Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have a great show for you. Gilbert Lavoie talks about his book, The Shroud of Jesus. Alan Migliorato joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. And Dr. David Whitten from FRANU will be with us. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend, and go Tigers.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.